Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler, or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
How often we do not know our own strength, our own ability, to move through the hell experience in the hallway. You know, in churches, you have been taught for thousands of years that hell is a bad thing.
Right?
But I love this song that God picked. To get to heaven, you gotta raise a little bit of hell. You have to be willing to go through it. Right now, many of us, I can tell, myself included, are going through the hell from spring to summer with all the So if I start talking, please forgive me. It's the process of moving through an experience. Today's lesson is kind of loosely based on the title of the book, not so much although I drew material from the book itself, but not so much about the book. The title is Hell in the Hallway. There was a book written some years ago. My mic is not on.
Hear me now. Oh, yeah, much better. Thank you. It's all hell, right? As I said, hell is not something to be feared. It's not even really something to be avoided because, first of all, in Unity, we don't believe in hell as a place you go after you die. It's an experience we have now. It's the experience moving through chaos, and chaos is caused when shift is happening. Old systems, old paradigms have to be broken down so that new ones can be created. A higher vibration can be created. And it may feel like hell when we are going through it. Anybody ever gone through that? Yeah, it's not always fun, is it? Well, the book was entitled Hell in the Hallway, Light at the Door. And it's from the expression, when one door closes, another opens, but it's hell in the hallway. But there is always light. We are always moving through it, not stuck in it, unless we choose to be. We can remain in it as long as we want. I believe that Homo sapiens, us, have our experience has been a hallway experience. We're a hallway species. We're always in that process of growing, of changing, and of course, throughout our history, we have always been taught, avoid change, avoid pain, avoid discomfort. And certainly we don't want to be in pain and discomfort, but there is a place for discomfort. Discomfort is that energy of saying change, grow, evolve. If we get comfortable, it's nice for a time. It's okay for a time. But hopefully we reach a point where we say, I've been in the hallway long enough, and I'm ready to evolve into the next level. I'm ready to go through that door with the light. The series that I have tacked this on to the end of was originally a four-part series. It was based on the book, The Spiritual Laws of Prosperity by Edwin Gaines. And the first Sunday, we looked at the law of tithing, about putting ourselves in the flow of energy in every aspect of our lives, in our relationships, in our health, in our wisdom, and yes, even in our financial and material supply. We learned the principles of being in that vibration, being in that flow of energy, of expansion. We learned what a tithe is and what a tithe is not. The next Sunday, we learned the principles of goal setting and that goals are the receptacles for divine ideas. They are the concrete steps we take towards our vision. Without goals, there can be no movement. If you missed any of these, you can go back online and watch them. A couple Sundays ago, Reverend Geo Downer talked about the principles of forgiveness and how forgiveness allows us to release our attachment to the past, to what didn't work or what is not working, to be in a consciousness of no blame, which frees us from bondage. And then we looked at the principles of finding our divine purpose last week. And commitment, being committed to our crucial role as a human being, as an evolutionary being, being committed to move beyond our comfort zones, to set goals, to forgive, to put ourselves in the flow. And as I looked at that series, which was supposed to be 4 Sundays, I thought, there's still something missing. There's still a block. Throughout the years, we have observed that these principles, while wonderful, don't seem to be enough. And I came to realize that the block is, what do we do with our paradigms? Reverend Geo talked about paradigms and paradigms. What is a paradigm? Well, that's what we're here to do today, to get very clear on what a paradigm is, where it comes from, and how we can embrace it and change it and elevate it to a higher level, a higher vibration. So let's begin with, what is a paradigm? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says, a paradigm is essentially a set of beliefs, concepts, or assumptions that collectively form a framework through which individuals perceive, understand, and interpret the world around them. It is those ideas that have formed your worldview. Not just a single idea, but rather a comprehensive worldview that shapes how we think, how we act, and how we make decisions. It goes on to say, paradigms influence everything from our personal beliefs and values to societal norms and even to scientific theories. They act as mental models that filter and organize information guiding our perceptions and behaviors. But here's the important thing. Paradigms are not fixed, nor are they immutable. They can evolve over time. We can consciously shift them if we so choose. As we encounter new experiences, insights, or evidence, we can recognize that our paradigms can be crucial for personal growth, innovation, and progress. We can't allow it to challenge our existing beliefs so that we may adopt new perspectives. You know me, I like to look up the meanings of words from their original roots. And I trace paradigm back to the Sanskrit root, which meant to point out or show. To point out or show. Could it be that our paradigms serve as guiding indicators, directing us towards what we must embrace, what we must engage with, what we must change? In a much later Germanic meaning of the word, it meant to teach. To teach, rather than to fear or hate our paradigms, let's look at how we can shift them. And while paradigms do indeed shift and change naturally, I believe sometimes we get stuck in them because they are so pervasive, they are so ingrained in our cultural and societal DNA, and yes, even in our religious DNA. There's one paradigm in particular that I believe is so ingrained and so pervasive that it's high time we root it out and we heal it. And that is the paradigm that we as a species, especially in the Western world, have around abundance and prosperity. You would think that after 2,600 years of the teachings of the Buddha, after 2,000 years of the teaching of the Christ, after hundreds and hundreds of years of teachings of all the great prosperity thinkers, that we would have mastered it. That we would not be lacking, that nobody would be homeless, nobody would be starving, because we know there's quite enough supply for every human being. And there's quite enough supply for us not to be in bondage, financially or materially. Despite the best efforts of so many teachers, a paradigm has been built that has blocked us from that great realization. And as I said, it goes back even before the time of Jesus. By the time of Jesus, a solid spiritual principle of abundance had been corrupted. That originally it was the principle of tithing. And that was an act of putting a portion of your good into circulation, into the flow of spiritual energy. And for thousands of years, it worked. It worked. We know that ancient farmers right here in the Southwest put aside a certain amount of their grain to plant a part so that animals could thrive. There's a ranch in northern New Mexico called the Bolac Ranch. Anybody ever been up there? If you get the chance, go. Many years ago, Tommy Bolac had an idea because the farm that they had was right on the San Juan River, and the geese and the bugs were eating all his crops, and he didn't want to use insecticides. He didn't want to use poisons. And he said, what could we do? And he said, what if we set aside 1/10 of our fields for the animals? Would they then let the other 90% of our fields thrive? It worked. It still works. Farmers come from all over the world to study how they do it. It works. By the time of Jesus, though, the spiritual practices had become corrupted as a way to make the temple hierarchy very powerful and wealthy. On Palm Sunday, Michael shared the story of Jesus walking into the temple and turning over the tables of the money changers. Do we really understand what happened there? Do we really get it? Let's pretend that it happens today. Let's pretend you walk into your church, not this one, but you walk into a church somewhere, and you are not expected to give. You are required to give a portion of your tithe, a portion of your good. But here's the rub. Not only are you required to do it, you have to use special money. So you come in with your $5 or $10, let's say $10, and you hand it to somebody up front, and they take that $10 and they give you a special $1 bill back. It looks different. It's not legal tender anywhere else. And then you have to go in and you have to buy in something to sacrifice using that special money. How is that working? The idea had been corrupted. It was no longer about putting yourself in the flow of divine good. It was about a way to make money. Jesus recognized the hypocrisy of that. And so he turned over the tables. But it went further than that. That was the beginning of the paradigm. But it went further than that. Imagine that you say, okay, I want to create a religion. And you create a religion that's all about sin, shame, and blame, and teach your people that it is good to be poor. Do that for thousands of years, and voila. You have created a very powerful paradigm. You can modify it a bit if you want, because after all, after a while, the temple priests and everything become quite wealthy. Well, what do we do with that? It's good to be poor, unless God really, really likes you. If you are wealthy, it means that God really likes you, but Joe over there, no, not so much you. And so you gradually, through generations and generations and generations of this programming, we adopt an idea that we are worms, not so worthy as to gather up the crumbs under the table as we used to pray in the church I grew up in. No wonder we struggle with abundance. No wonder we struggle with prosperity. I've had to deal with it myself to get past that paradigm. That was a false teaching from the beginning. No wonder we have so much abundance. I mean, so much baggage around abundance, around poverty, around churches. So let's get clear. Let's set this record straight. Tithing works. The principles work, period. I've been doing it for years. It works. But only if it is done properly and with the right understanding. I know many times I have done it without understanding, especially in the beginning, where I've given my tithe without really knowing or understanding what the purpose is, what the spiritual practice is, and I haven't prospered. And I talk to many, many people as a minister. They say, well, I tithed once. It didn't work. I understand. I get it. I've been there. Because we don't understand the principles and because we have this massive paradigm that we've come up against. Imagine you're walking down the road and there's this big dragon there. That's your paradigm. What do you do with it? Well, I love an old story from the East that says there's three things you can do with a dragon when you encounter it. You can stand and try to fight it, but they have armored like scales and sharp teeth and claws and they breathe fire. You're going to lose. And you taste good with ketchup. You can try to run, but they can fly. They will catch you. Or you can embrace them and they become your friend and you take on their power. That's what a paradigm is inviting us to do, to embrace it, to understand it, to take on the power of it, and thus rise to a higher level. So back to tithing, back to putting ourselves in the flow of divine supply. Even if you do not believe in the spiritual principle itself, putting any part of your life into the flow of energy always produces positive results. And when we talk about this in unity, we're talking about holistic abundance. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about love. We're talking about health. We're talking about a little less pollen in the air. Excuse me. When we put whatever energy it is into circulation, the results are always positive. There's actual scientific evidence that this is how the universe works. Physicists are now discovering that this is how the universe works. It is the underlying principle of growth and expansion. Charles Fillmore wrote this: "You may be thinking that you cannot give because your income is small or your supply of anything is limited, but your remedy is to cultivate ideas of abundance. Claim God as your inexhaustible resource, that all things are yours. But in order to set in motion the accumulated energy of your thought, you must also take action. You may be able to only give a little bit at first, but give in the name and the spirit of God." We do that. We change, the wording has changed a little bit over the last 125 years. But the principle is the same. But our paradigms get in the way. I've seen so many people that, you know, when they become aware of this, it triggers it. There's a trigger that happens. They fear the very idea of doing it. I've been there. Anybody else? You don't have to raise your hands. But if you've been there, you know what it feels like. And you want to run from it. Or you want to resist it. Or you want to blame somebody else for your paradigm. That's the easiest thing to do. Well, he did. He made my paradigm. It's not me. Maybe. But we are the ones who get to heal it. We see it happening to us as individuals. We see it happening in our nation. Right now, that's what's happening. Paradigms are showing up to be changed. Societal paradigms, economic paradigms, political paradigms. We are in hell in the hallway right now. But that's okay, because that hallway does lead to an open door. This is nothing to be ashamed of. We are the ones who have been called to shift the paradigm. It is a great honor. It is a great invitation. So how do we do that now? Now that we understand really where our paradigms about abundance and prosperity come from, how they've been built over centuries and centuries of programming, how do we shift it? Well, first we have to understand that any issue involving lack is an expression of a paradigm around abundance. So we look at the lack of housing for people. There's more than enough housing for every human being. We look at hunger. There's more than enough food for every human being. There is no reason anybody should be experiencing being unhoused or unfed. We know that. So why is it not happening? Because of the paradigms. We know that we live in a limitless universe, that there's no shortage of resources. There's no shortage of love. There's no shortage of food. There's no shortage of shelter, and there's no shortage of money. And until we can recognize that kingdom of heaven consciousness, We will not shift the paradigm. Now we think of kingdom of heaven, maybe if you grew up in a traditional path like I did, kingdom of heaven is, you know, streets of gold and pearly gates and all of that. Kingdom of heaven is an ancient way of saying fourth dimensional thinking, fourth dimensional vibration, higher than our normal way of seeing and understanding things just through our physical eyes and our physical interpretation. It's an understanding that we are energy, that all creation is energy, and energy can be shifted, energy can be channeled, energy can be directed. So the second thing we have to realize is to overcome prosperity paradigms often involves in a shift in mindset and behavior. It means embracing a more holistic perspective on prosperity. So how then do we do that? Well, the first step we can take is reframe prosperity. Reframe that word. How many of you still feel a little angst when a minister says prosperity? Yeah, I hear a few kind of hesitant uh-huhs. It's okay. It's okay. Rather than solely equating prosperity with material wealth and possessions, expand the definition to include elements like health, relationship, personal growth, and community well-being. I like that last one. Community well-being. Recognize that true prosperity encompasses a balanced and fulfilling life in every aspect. Second, and this one's most important, practice gratitude. Cultivate a sense of gratitude for what you already have. This can help shift your focus away. I lost my tape. This can help shift your focus away from always wanting towards appreciating the abundance that surrounds you. I feel grateful every morning when I'm driving into work and I see my mistress on the horizon. Novella calls Sandy a peak my mistress. My mistress of convenience. I literally say to myself, thank you, God, for letting me live in New Mexico. And when I look at Novella, I say, thank you, God, for sending me to Missouri and allowing me to come back. Are we grateful all the time? There's always something to be grateful for. Even with all the pollen that's in the air right now, we can be grateful for the beautiful flowers and plants that are going to grow. So cultivate a sense of gratitude for what you already have, because this can help shift your focus away from always wanting more towards appreciating what you have. Regularly reflect on the things you are thankful for, both great and small. The next one is simplify your life. Evaluate your lifestyle and identify areas you can simplify in. It might involve decluttering your physical space, reducing unnecessary commitments. I say learning to say no. Sometimes that's a very important skill to develop. Or cutting back on excessive consumption. By simplifying, you free up time, resources, and mental energy for the things that truly matter. Michael, would you hand me the other mic? I don't know where it is, but...
You'd be grateful that there's other mics.
Thank you, Martine. Prioritize experiences over possessions. Instead of pursuing material wealth, prioritize experiences and relationships that bring joy and fulfillment. Invest in activities that align with your values and contribute to your overall well-being, whether it's spending time with loved ones, pursuing hobbies, or exploring new places. Prioritize experiences over possessions. The next one is practice generosity. Embrace a mindset of abundance by giving back to others. This could involve volunteering your time, donating to causes you care about, or simply performing random acts of kindness towards others. Generosity not only benefits others, but also fosters a sense of connection and purpose within yourself. When we do something for someone else, we are building an energetic bridge. We are coming into a consciousness of oneness. Next is focus on your personal growth and invest in your own development. Set meaningful goals that allow with your aspirations and constantly strive to learn and grow. Cultivate mindfulness. Develop mindfulness practices such as meditation, yoga, journaling, tai chi. We have all of those available here. Mindfulness can help you become attuned to your own thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. And finally, and this one might surprise you, maybe not, connect with nature. Connect with nature. We live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, in my opinion. Spend time outdoors and reconnect with the natural world. Nature has a way of grounding us and showing us what truly matters. Whether it's going for a hike or a walk in the park, gardening, a picnic, immerse yourself in nature because it can help you develop an appreciation for life's simple pleasures. When we can embrace these ideas, these principles and practices, we gradually begin to shift from a narrow prosperity paradigm focused solely on material wealth toward a more holistic and fulfilling understanding of what prosperity is. And when we have one area in our life that is lacking, it's a reflection of the entire consciousness. So as we work on this stuff, we're healing the whole spectrum of what prosperity is. I like what Jesus is quoted as saying in Luke, "Stop concerning yourselves about what you will eat or what you will drink, and stop being distressed, because it is the unbelievers who are concerned about all these things. Surely your Father knows that you need them. Instead, be concerned about his kingdom, and these things will be provided to you as well. Stop being afraid, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Now let's bring that up into modern terminology. Jesus, that time, they did not have the same understanding of quantum physics and quantum mechanics that we do, but that's what he was talking about. So let's restate this. Stop worrying. Stop it. Worrying is negative energy. Let your consciousness be fourth dimensional. In other words, align with the vibration of the universe, the kingdom. Put yourself in the vibration of abundance. And all that you know that all you require is at hand and will become manifest. The universe is only about expansion and increase. That's how Jesus would say that today to us. The universe, of which you are a part of, by the way, you're not just in it, you're a part of it. It is about expansion and increase. James Lewis wrote, "There is no need for some to have abundance and others to have nothing. There is more than enough of God's good for everyone, for this is an opulent universe." It is high time we shift that last paradigm that is blocking true abundance consciousness for ourselves as individuals and for all humanity. It is time we embrace the paradigm, for it has a gift for us. Margaret Ponder, the Unity minister and great teacher, wrote, "God is the master composer. We are his musicians. He has given us his most beautiful score and limitless access to the instruments of abundance. You are a musician. You have a song to sing. You have a symphony to play. And it is time to sing a new song, a song of limitless abundance." Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.